Forgive me, I loosened my voice a little bit. So the meeting is called to order, and I would like Pastor Keck from Curie Memorial Lutheran Church to please lead us in the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, thank you very much. Where would you like me?
Where, right there is fine.
Perfect. You know, this seems more appropriate than ever. I didn't know this big public hearing was going on. Mm-hmm. So there's a verse from Psalm 46 that says, "The Almighty, the Lord Almighty is with us." And we need that more than ever. I know there's a lot of challenges that we face here, a lot of joys we certainly face here in this community, but a lot of challenges and struggles with, especially with growth and all that kind of stuff. So keep in mind that the Lord is with us, to continue to guide us and help us and bring us all together, giving us patience and peace and joy as we kind of work through all these challenges. So let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this amazing town of Curie Beach, a great place to be. Lord, we pray that you would be with the council, bless them, guide them in the decisions that they need to make, guide this community as we come together to make the right decisions for our residents as well as the visitors that come to join us and enjoy the place where we live. And just continue to bless us in our time together. These things we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Okay. First order of business is the presentation of proclamation in support of National Safe Boating Week. So, gentlemen, we have a proclamation. Whereas, year-round, people continue to enjoy all that our natural environment has to offer through the joy of boating. And whereas, National Safe Boating Week is observed to bring attention to important life-saving tips for recreational boaters so that they can have a safer, more fun experience out on the water. And whereas on average, 650 people die each year in boating-related accidents in the United States, with approximately 3/4 of these being fatalities caused by drowning. And whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment, and not by the boat, equipment, or environmental factors. And whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today if they wore their life jackets. And whereas today's life jackets are more comfortable, more attractive, and more wearable than styles of years past. Now therefore be it proclaimed that Curie Beach Town Council hereby supports the goals of the North American Safe Boating Campaign. Wear it. And proclaim May 19th to the 25th, 2018, as National Safe Boating Week and the start of the year-round effort to promote safe boating, and also supports the Cape Fear Sail and Power Squadron, which is a major provider of boating safety training in our area. Proclaim this 15th day of May, 2018. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you
for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. For you boaters, if you want to see a vessel safety inspection, go to the Power Squadron website, Cape Fear Sail and PowerSquadron.org, and we'll get a free boating safety inspection.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. The approval of the consent agenda. Do I have any recommended changes to the consent agenda? If I have no changes, do I have a motion to accept?
Make a motion to accept as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The consent agenda items are all approved. The adoption of the agenda. Do I have any recommended changes to the agenda as published?
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Sorry, second.
Motion and a second to approve the agenda as it stands. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we'll follow this agenda. Very good. Okay. Do we have any persons who wish to address council?
I have one, Kevin, is it Bierman? Yes. Did anyone else want to sign up? Yes, you're already on the agenda under new business. Did anyone else want to?
Evening, sir. I just wanted to take 1 second just to introduce myself. Kevin Bierman, live at 144 Seawatch Way. Moved here about 7 months ago, retired from the military, Army Engineer Colonel. I saw your position that's out there advertised, Public Works and Utilities Director, and just want to let you know that I'm excited about the opportunity to apply for that position. I just wanted to take a minute to introduce myself. And
okay.
Say hello.
Cool. Thank you.
Go for it.
Anybody else? Nancy, is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Community Center Committee, representative here today. I would say that the committee is setting up their August barbecue, and they are getting ready for that. And I hope none of you miss it, because it is truly outstanding. Nick, do you have any comments you wish to make about anything in the community center? Okay. Marketing committee. We have the chairman here this evening, Debbie, and I believe you want to take us through some presentation.
Well, actually, no. I'm just here to answer any questions you have about the budget.
Well, that's thank you. Because there were 53 pages. I was afraid you might want to talk about that.
I can tell you that the marketing committee was unanimous in their recommendation that council approve the budget. It's a 13.7% increase based on New Hanover County's forecast of the room occupancy tax. And I think really the only changes that you will see there, you know, there are some slight changes, but, you know, there is a less print, more digital. You know, we're working with a limited budget, and the agencies strongly recommend, because they've been able to demonstrate that we're getting more return on our investment with more investment in digital. So that's really where any type of changes from year to year primarily are.
So less magazines and more
right, I think
FaceTime
the only,
and
I think
Instagram.
Really, the only print that still stays in here is Our State. Okay. But we're doing more online. We're doing more with, say, TripAdvisors, display ads, and HomeAway, because so many of our rentals are VRBO and, you know, house rentals in our community, that seems to make a great deal of sense.
Okay.
To spend those dollars in that way.
Hopefully you all had the opportunity to look through this. Are there any questions for Debbie as the chair of the marketing committee?
Make a motion to approve the budget as presented.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. I'm going to ask one question.
Identified.
Can I still ask a question?
Yes. Sure. Well, yes, you may. Go ahead. We can't change the vote, but
no,
you may
no,
ask
no.
the question.
Not trying to change the vote, and not trying to be picky. Some of the highlights, what's new, it mentions the Fort Fisher Air Force Recreation Area movies. Y'all have anything in your material that advertises that the base cafe is open to the general public?
I don't think that we get into that level of detail. You know what I mean? Like the marketing committee is really marketing Curie Beach as a destination. And so that would really, I think that the committee would be referring to Fort Fisher to do what they need to do internally to promote it.
Curiosity.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission, any inputs?
No, we don't have anything this month.
Thank you, Craig. Non-town committee reports, we don't have any of the non-town committee reports this week, this month. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee.
I'm here.
All right.
Pat Triplett, one of the committee members, and Placer Dennis. And he says, Public Works has assembled the new beach access signs. We're still waiting for CAMA approval to install. John Batson submitted the permit application a week ago last Friday, so we expect approval any day. Goal is to get them up before Memorial Day.
Okay. Thank you.
John said we should have town approval by Friday.
Good. Right. Okay, so they can go up then. All right. Discussion and consideration of department head business, administration and recreation. Nancy, anything?
No,
okay, we're moving along well. Finance department. Arlen, I think you're going to slow us down.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we approach with anybody have any questions.
When it comes to money now.
Yeah. To those who don't know, Arlen Copenhaver is our financial officer, department head for all finance.
So what I wanted to do was walk through the proposed fiscal year 19 budget for Cherry Beach. I'm going to start out with just some basic information about some requirements for the budget preparation. We can do these quickly. I just want to let you know everything's been prepared in accordance with North Carolina state statutes, also in conformance with the Local Government Budget and Fiscal Control Act. One thing you will need to do tonight is to schedule a public hearing that's required before adoption of the budget. I put in a proposed date, but it'll be up to Council on what they select. Once this budget proposal is accepted tonight, it will be ready or available for inspection on the town's website. Also here at Town Hall, there'll be copies available if anyone would like to read it. Very interesting reading, just to let everyone know. And then finally, a balanced budget or an interim budget must be adopted by July 1st. So the budget proposal actually is comprised of three things. It's included in your agenda packet. A lot of what I'm going to put up here summarizes all that, but the first thing is the budget message, which summarizes the budget by fund, also shows, provides some of the key highlights and identifies significant differences with the current year. The next part is the draft budget ordinance, which just contains the budgeted revenues and expenditures by fund and other required information regarding property taxes, changes to the fee schedule, and again, some other statutory requirements. And the third part is the draft fee schedule, which includes the fees and other charges by the town for various services. Also, if anyone would like, there's also a detailed line item budget available for every department, also all the revenue accounts, so that information is also available. So before I get into it, I'll just say that all of this was put together based on input from the annual council retreat and also from our budget work sessions that were held in April. It also supports the goals that council established. And I'm just going to hit the highlights on these because I believe the mayor is going to do an update on goals later in this meeting. So I'll just really hit the main part, which is one, to work smarter to maintain and improve our quality of life in Cherry Beach. Two, to ensure the integrity of town financial data and maintain financial stability in all town funds. Three, enable an optimum working environment for the staff to produce high levels of service to the public. And four, provide all departments with the support to maintain safe working and living environment. So that was really the basis of putting this budget together. So I'll kind of do a quick summary. This is all of the town funds. There are seven funds, the largest fund being the general fund, then followed by water and sewer, stormwater, PAL bill, federal asset forfeiture, sewer expansion reserve fund, and beach protection fund. So the first column shows the proposed budget for this upcoming fiscal year. The next budget, original fiscal year 2018 budget, is where we started for the current year. There have been some amendments to that budget since then, but that was the beginning point for this current year. Then shows the change and percentage change. And you'll see some significant changes in both directions for certain funds. And what we'll do is we'll kind of walk through each fund at this point. Unless anybody has any questions to start with on this summary, we can move on and go through each individual fund. So the first fund is the general fund, which is our largest fund. I'm just going to hit some of the highlights to start with, which is one, proposed tax increase of 4.5 cents. It's about 15.8%. That would make our new rate 33 cents per $100 of valuation. Also included in there for the general fund are some other fee increases related to monthly garbage collection. For residential, it would be an increase from $6 per cart to $7 per cart on a monthly basis. We also have if you have more than one cart as a residential customer, there's an additional charge for the multiple carts. That would also go up. So a second, third, fourth, et cetera cart would go from $12 a month to $14 per month. For commercial, the increase would be per cart, and it will go from $26.25 to $30.63 per month. And then finally, a small increase in the recycle service of 13 cents per month, taking the new rate to $5.01 per month. Also included in the general fund is, as part of the budget, is a 2% cost of living adjustment and 2% merit increase pool for employees. There are two additions to full-time staff, one in administration, one in parks and recreation. This budget also includes a little over $207,000 for capital expenditures. It includes a transfer of around $9,800 to the Beach Protection Fund, a contingency of $9,850, which is really just a kind of like emergency fund if unbudgeted needs arise during the course of the year. And it just overall, so this budget is 13% greater than what the fiscal year 2018 budget was. We'll move on to the what actually comprises the revenue for the general fund. So this pie chart shows the various components. Rather than go through every one of them, I'll kind of just focus in on the top three. Property taxes, sales tax, and garbage and recycling fees. Those three represent about 80-81% of our general fund revenue, or about $4.2 million. I believe most of the other categories are fairly self-explanatory, but I will ask if anybody has any questions or would like me to go into any detail on any of the others. I do have a category called other revenue. That's primarily made up of sales tax refund, ABC revenue, motor vehicle license tax, and beer and wine tax. And then other financing sources would be any loans that we take during the course of the year. I'll back up to property taxes just for a minute, and that amount, $2.9 million, includes the current year tax levy in addition to any prior year collections that may occur during the course of the year. And that's based on an estimated tax base that we received from New Hanover County Tax Department of about $892 million base, which is about an $8.7 million increase over last year. It's also based on a historical collection percentage of about 99%. So I mentioned that 4.5 cent proposed tax increase. Some of those reasons for that tax increase will be discussed when we talk about the expenses within the general fund. But I thought it might be helpful just to show what that looks like for a property valued at $350,000. So the tax at the current rate would be $997.50. The increase would be $157.50, bringing the new tax to $1,155. Which I said is about 15.8% increase. That increase comes out to about $13 per month. So then I thought it might be somewhat interesting to factor in what we've been hearing about New Hanover County, which is that they're proposing a potential 1.5 cent tax decrease. So I put that up there just to show what that would impact on a complete picture for property taxes. Again, this is based on a property value at $350,000. The left side of the chart shows everything based on the current rates. The right side shows the potential, the proposed rates, I guess, both for Curie Beach and for New Hanover County. And you see in the far right corner that the actual difference would be an increase of about $105 annually, or about 3.5%. So even though we're talking about a 15%+ increase in our tax rate, it's somewhat mitigated by the decrease in the county tax rate.
Where are they at in their process? Have they approved it and it's out to meeting or not yet? That's just what they're saying right now.
Right, that's what the, and that's why it's
so you'll get to update this when it really comes out, right? Okay.
Right. Yeah, so right now this is just proposed, but I thought that's the best information.
Yeah, that's the best we have. No, you're right.
That's 28 cents a day or something like that.
Yes,
probably. Yeah, something like
it's
that.
It's about that.
Dollar a week.
$8.75 a month. So.
Dollar a week.
$2 a week.
$2 a week.
Yeah. It's 2 weeks.
I don't know if anybody has any questions on that.
The only other thing that, so we are approximately 40% of the revenue that it, that our citizens are taxed on comes back to us, or is it less now?
Well, it's probably, so what the total taxes, our yes. percentage is probably still less. It was about a third of your total property tax was related to Curie Beach. It now maybe is about 36%, maybe 37%.
Okay. So the increases that you were talking about are strictly on just our portion of the taxes?
Correct. And it's also showing as on the New Hanover County line what the potential decrease would be if they follow through with what they've proposed at this point.
Thank you.
So what I'll do is I'll finish out the rest of the information regarding the general fund revenue. I thought it might be interesting just to put up the percentage of revenue for the major sources. And I do this because it shows the consistency that we have within Curie Beach. And of course, property taxes will show a higher amount because of the proposed tax increase, but most other things are fairly consistent. The only unusual things probably fall more towards the end in other revenue and other financing sources, and other financing sources is loans that we take for capital equipment, so it really varies based on the amount of capital expenditure for the year. And some of the other revenue area, we had some funds come in from FEMA in relation to Hurricane Matthew that impacted this account that made higher amounts of income for 2017. And for 2019, we have some beach access paving projects that are occurring, and there's some grant funds that will be coming in for that. So does anyone have any questions on general fund revenue at this point? Then we'll take a look at the expenses for the general fund and kind of broke it down by the major categories. Most, you could say, are departments. Some of them are more, I'll call them functions instead of departments. The top five, which account for about 82% of the general fund budget, are the police department, streets and sanitation, the fire department, our debt service payments, and administration. So those five departments account for about 4.3 million of the total 5.2 million budget. Some of the more, I think those are fairly self-explanatory. I'll answer any questions anybody may have on any of those categories. The other category, the main components there are the tax collection expenses we pay to New Hanover County and the operating expenses for the community center. But I'll also say before we go on, a couple things to keep in mind with the general fund. That is the main fund for the town. A lot of town-provided services are paid for out of here. All of the public safety, police, fire, lifeguards, garbage, trash, recycle collection, just general maintenance and upkeep of the town, building inspection, code enforcement, parks and recreation, general administration. So there's a lot that actually happens in this fund. Another thing to keep in mind is that for some reason costs continue to go up. Things just cost more. We purchase the materials and supplies continually are increasing. Also say, as part of the governing body or town council budget, there are some contributions that are made to some outside organizations. We go through a process where they submit applications, actually providing a service other than what the town can provide to citizens. So there are amounts paid to the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce concert series, KDB Hines Senior Center, the Help Center of Federal Point Historic Preservation Society, the Friends of Fort Fisher, and the Island of Lights. And the total of all those is about $16,000, very consistent from year to year. One other thing I'll just mention is the debt service of $708,000. That is a significant increase from prior years. That is primarily based on the $5 million loan we took for construction of a new fire station and an expansion and renovation of Town Hall. That is the primary reason for the tax increase. It's something that we discussed all along. When thinking about even before initiation of the project, what would be required to actually pay for it. So it fell right in line with what was anticipated at that point. This budget also includes some capital expenditures, about $207,000 for replacement of a police vehicle, replacement of a street sweeper, which is actually half of it is in this fund, half of it is in another fund because it's used for multiple purposes. This budget also includes, as I mentioned earlier, transfer to the Beach Protection Fund, contingency. And then I just pull out certain pieces like debt service, capital outlay, et cetera, and try to look at solely operating expenses. And by doing that, operating expenses have increased by about 8.5%. Anybody have any questions on that? So as I did with revenue, I'll show the same kind of thing with expenses, just the percentage by department for the budget for 2019 in comparison to the current year and the prior year. And again, you see fairly consistent percentage of expenses for each department. Some of the strange things, streets and sanitation had a large increase for 2017 because of the purchase of a new garbage truck. Administration sees some increases in 2018 and 19 that really relates to relocating here. Mm-hmm. Both Town Hall and the Police Department, all those expenses were consolidated within the administration budget. So before we move on to the next fund, any last questions or comments? Or
I just have one question. When we met the first part of the year and the departments were putting their budgets together, particularly police, fire, and public works, who have vehicles, you know, on the road every day. Gas was quite a bit cheaper than it is now, and that it was projected to be as we go into fiscal 19. Have we talk to those gentlemen and ladies, or do you foresee us needing contingency fund if gas prices continue to go up?
If they go up significantly, I mean, I know they've already gone up a lot, but if it really takes off, we have to come back at some point and use contingency if need be, or fund balance if necessary. I think it was, again, we have to see some really drastic increases for that.
Thank you.
Okay, so next we'll move on to the Water and Sewer Fund. I'll just kind of hit the highlights on that. One is there are some proposed changes to the water and sewer rate structure. One would be on residential, which would be to create a new rate for the usage that exceeds 12,000 gallons in a month. So yes, many, unfortunately, way too many people use more than 12,000 gallons. Also in the commercial and out-of-tourist section, or for us really Fort Fisher area, a new rate here when monthly usage exceeds 70,000 gallons. Budget also includes capital expenditures of a little over $240,000, debt service of $249,000, the overall budget increased by about 2% from the current year. So we'll take a quick look at the revenue. As we would expect, the primary sources for this fund are the water and sewer charges, so they represent about 92% of the revenue for this fund. Some of the other things are tap connection and cutoff fees. Other financing is loans that we would take for capital expenditures, and other revenue, the primary things there are account past due fees and account setup fees. I had mentioned about the rate structure. We'll kind of go and take a look at the actual proposed changes to that. I will say what we have to consider with the Water and Sewer Fund is it's an enterprise fund, which means that it has to be operated like a business, which means it has to be self-sustaining, meaning covering the operating costs day-to-day in addition to having reserves put aside for future infrastructure and other capital projects. So I thought it might be interesting first just to look at what did water usage and sewer usage look like for a one-year period. I looked at April 2017 to March 2018. We'll just kind of focus on the water line at this point. But you see townwide, over 110 million gallons were used. And this was actually a year with less usage than some other years. That the majority of the usage comes from residential customers, so over 93 million gallons or 84%. But that might just be helpful to have that information before we actually move on and look at what we're talking about for residential customers. So first I'll say the goal is to put more of the financial responsibility on the people that are using the services. Whether you use more water and sewer, you're going to be charged more. The first thing we did was 2 years ago, we added a rate tier that once you exceeded 7,000 gallons in a month, a new higher rate kicked in. What's being proposed here is that once you hit 12,000 gallons, then there's another rate that's also going to kick in on top of that. What I did was look at that same 12-month period, and about 6% of the annual billings have used over 12,000 gallons in a month. Those 6% of the billings have used about 32% of the total residential water, which comes out to about over 30 million gallons. So it's, again, these big users are using a lot of and putting a lot of burden on the system. So I thought I'd just very quickly show that's what it looks like on a monthly basis. So you definitely see the blue line being the percentage of amounts over 12,000 gallons and the red line being the percent of the total gallons used. So you definitely see in the summer months, July and August, that these accounts are using almost 50% of the water for the residential accounts in the town. So a very significant impact at points in time. The far right shows the averages that I quoted earlier, the approximately 6% and 32%. So this is what the rate structure would look like. And I'll start out with, if you use 12,000 gallons or less, this doesn't impact you at all. So everything is the same until you get to the last line, which is a rate per 100 gallons once you exceed 12,000 gallons. And what that is 50% higher than the tier before it. So that's kind of the way we've structured it up to this point, so continued that same pricing pattern. I thought it would be helpful then too just to show a couple quick examples of what it would look like. So I started out with, if you're 12,000 or less, as I said, no impact. So if you use exactly 12,000 gallons, which not if this is adopted, then it does right now. At 15,000 gallons, the increase amount would be about $23 a month, or about 11%. Just two more things, as you can see what happens as you increase the your usage. At 20,000 gallons, now an increase of almost $62 a month, or almost 22%. And at 25,000 gallons, it's $100 a month increase, and almost 28% increase. So again, it puts the burden on the heavy users. I don't know if anyone has any questions about residential infrastructure.
Well, just say I appreciate the council on this. As the council knows, this has been a big issue for me for a number of years, and I've worked with Arlen and Public Works to continue to highlight the fact that water is not just free, and that the users that are causing us to do things like add pumps or anything else should be the ones paying for it. I think Gen X showed that if you are not careful of the aquifer, from what Riceville saw, you can pull it down and it's going to pull other water in, whether from the river or from the Atlantic Ocean, and we do not want to do that. So we should encourage people to conserve, and I don't think people will conserve without a financial incentive. So thanks, Councilman. Thanks, Earl.
So then I just move in and run through the commercial proposal for commercial accounts. Again, very similar. I'm looking at the same time period and proposing that there'd be an additional rate when more than 70,000 gallons is used in a month. I looked at the usage from April 2017 to March 2018, and about a little over 7.5% of the commercial billings used over 70,000 gallons. And those billings used approximately 48% of the total commercial water, which is about 4 million gallons a year. So with that in mind, what the proposal is that, again, the under 70,000 gallons, there is no change in the monthly bill. Over 70,000 gallons, there would be just a higher rate. It's actually a 25% greater than the rate, the tier before it, and it would only apply to those gallons over 70,000 gallons. So I threw up just two quick examples on that also, what it would look like. One is commercial customer used 80,000 gallons, they'd see a monthly increase of about $35, or about 5.5%. At the 100,000 gallon level in a month, it would be a $105 a month increase, or about 11%. I don't know if anybody has any questions on proposal for commercial accounts. I'll move on to the outdoor section, which is really our accounts here in the Fort Fisher area. Again, took the same approach and proposing a new rate here for usage over 70,000 gallons. I'm looking at the same time period. It's a little different picture because 60% of the Fort Fisher buildings use over 70,000 gallons in a month. And that those buildings use approximately 97% of the water, so we'll definitely have a bigger impact on the accounts out of jurisdiction, the accounts here in Fort Fisher, that those accounts use about 9 million gallons of water for the year. So this is what their rate structure would look like. Again, under 70,000 gallons, no increase. Over 70,000 gallons, there would be a new rate tier, again, 25% greater than the tier before it, and it would apply to all gallons over 70,000. And same kind of idea, just two quick examples. One of an account using 100,000 gallons, so they would see an increase of $135, or about 7.5%. At the 200,000 gallon level, you can see a monthly increase of about $585, or about 16%. And there are a number of accounts here that use 200,000 to 300,000 gallons a month. So, anyone has any questions on that? Okay, I just wanted to show the revenue, again, like I did with the general fund. You see the impact of the water and sewer proposed rate changes for budget year 2019. Most other expense tap and connection fees are based on building activity or estimated building activity. In 2017, we transferred some money from a reserve fund or sewer expansion reserve fund for a capital project that was done, so it appeared as revenue in this fund. But other than that, fairly consistent. So the consensus for the water and sewer fund, as we would expect, operations, the bulk of the budget, about 75%. After that, we have administration at 14%, finance at 9%, and then legal and county council at 1% each. Just a couple of things here to keep in mind, I guess, with expenses. There is a debt service of about $259,000 that's included within the operations budget. That has increased by about 32% from last year, and that really relates to the portion of the town hall loan expansion and renovation that is estimated to relate to the water and sewer fund. Also includes capital expenditures within operations of about $240,000 for some equipment and also some infrastructure projects. And this just shows the, I guess, also consistency, I guess, between years of the budgets for the different departments. Some of the fluctuation in particular operations is going to depend on the amount of capital expenditures. Also, there was a project in 2017 to clean the sewer treatment lagoon that added some additional maintenance costs. So, does anyone have any questions on the water and sewer fund expenses or revenue? Then we'll move on to the stormwater fund. Here we can start out, at least no proposed changes to the rates for stormwater. This fund also has debt service of about $108,000. The budget includes $96,000 for capital projects and equipment. And this budget is actually much less than the current year, 43% less, because this year included some significant infrastructure projects. So this is the revenue budget for the stormwater fund. The significant amount of it is the monthly stormwater fees that everyone pays. Next largest source is the stormwater building fees on new construction. And then this also has other financing, which will be an installment loan. This is the other half I mentioned earlier. There'll be a street sweeper that'll be purchased. This is the other half of that. I guess the total cost of the street sweeper is about $160,000. And then this shows somewhat consistency, especially in our major revenue source of stormwater fees. Building fees, again, based on building activity. You'll see one unusual thing, the hurricane reimbursement. We had significant damage to our stormwater system on the beach as part of Hurricane Matthew. So we did receive reimbursement from FEMA. We just got the last part of it about a month ago of about $176,000 or $175,000. So. We'll take a look at the expense budget for the stormwater fund. Again, very consistent year-to-year operation, accounting for about 43%, debt service at about 30%, and capital outlay at about 27%. So this kind of shows, at least in the first two categories, the consistency between operations and debt service. What's demonstrated in the last column in capital outlay is the significant investment that we made in infrastructure in 2017 and 2018. There were significant, I guess, relining projects that were done in the Curie Beach Village area in 2017, and that wrapped up in the current year. Also included in there is the damages from about $175,000 to the stormwater system. Anybody have any questions on stormwater? Then we're almost there. Last this one just takes the last four smaller funds and just make a couple comments on those. The first being the Powell fund, that's actually money that's received from the Department of Transportation, and it's restricted use funds in that it can only be used for street maintenance, repairs, construction, and it can only be town-owned streets. The budget this year is about $175,000. We expect to get about $65,000 from the Department of Transportation. There's also a little bit of money in there on interest on fund investments, and the balance is actually coming out of the fund balance or savings, I guess, from this the PAL bill. It's funds we haven't used in the last couple of years, so kind of accumulated. We're going to use them for a couple street paving projects in fiscal year 2019. Any questions on the PAL bill?
No.
Next is the Beach Protection Fund. This was set up back in 2014 when it looked, there was a major concern about funding for beach nourishment expenses. So we decided to set up this fund that could be used for not only to help pay for beach nourishment, but also any other beach-related needs, whether it be signs, beach access improvements. These funds will be available for that. The funding up to this point has only been transfers from the general fund, so that is the primary revenue from here is about $9,800 from the general fund, and then interest income on fund investment.
What's the total in that fund right now?
It's right now it's about $335,000, I believe.
Okay.
Any other questions on that one? Next is the Federal Asset Forfeiture Fund. This money is actually comes from the police department's participation in with federal law enforcement agencies. Depending on the amount of resources we provide, depending on assets that are seized and then sold, I guess, by the applicable agency, we may receive some of those funds. This also is very restricted use funds. It can only be used for police department activities, but it cannot be used to pay for their daily operating expenses. So it's kind of like out of the ordinary type things or unique things that the town may need. So that's budgeted for $50,000 for 2019. Again, that's under the direction or sole responsibility of the police chief has complete control over that fund. Not to put any pressure on. Any questions on federal asset forfeiture? Okay, and finally is the sewer expansion reserve fund. That is a reserve fund set up for, as it says, future sewer expansion projects or maintenance projects. The revenue source for this is what's called a system development fee, and then also interest on fund investments. So the revenue of this really depends on building activity. Any questions on that?
Myself.
So then, I would just like to thank everybody, I guess, for all the help, all the department heads, all the town employees who participated. I think this is a budget that supports the town, the needs of the town, also council's goals. And it was, as usual, been an interesting but challenging process. Appreciate your support.
Well,
appreciate you. My thanks to all the department heads for looking at the goals, working with us through the retreats to come up with something that is forward-thinking at the least cost possible. So, thank you all. Now, do we want to push this for a public hearing on Tuesday, June 5th at 6:30 p.m.?
I make a motion we set a public hearing.
Second.
6:30 p.m. June 5th.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And do we need to approve the proposed budget message, or do we need to do that?
If you could use the language to direct me to advertise the proposed budget for inspection and hold a public
Make a motion. We advertise the proposed budget and inform the public appropriately so we follow the rules. How's that for a motion?
That's pretty good.
I second that we follow the rules.
There you go. Nice.
All right.
Get a motion and second, sir.
Okay. All in favor of that particular motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thanks again, Arnold.
and budget.
Thanks, Nancy.
And department heads. Fire department. Fire chief.
The proposed amendment change is simply an update to the Curry Beach Code of Ordinances. It updates us to get in line with the North Carolina Fire Prevention Code. The last time this was done, it was 1982. But we currently have adopted the 1982 edition. There's been quite a few updates since then. It doesn't change the way that we do business. It doesn't change our fire inspections. It simply states that the Curry Beach Code of Ordinances backs the Fire Prevention Code.
Okay, so your recommendation is we approve this?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do I have a motion or questions? Andy,
did you look at it? Are you good with the amendment section 31?
Yes, sir. It's fine.
Do we need to read it or can we? Nancy, or do we need to read it? I've got it in front of me if we do.
If the audience wants to hear it.
Okay, I make a motion to amend section 31 as follows. The International Fire Code, including appendices and the state amendments as published by the International Code Council, is hereby adopted as the code of the town for regulating and governing the safeguarding of life and property from fire and explosion hazards arising from the storage, handling, and use of hazardous substances, materials, and devices, and from conditions hazardous to life or property and the occupancy of buildings and premises in the town, and providing for the issuance of permits for hazardous uses or operations, and each and all of the regulations, provisions, conditions, and terms of such International Fire Code, current edition, published by the International Code Council, on file in the office of the fire chief, as hereby referred to, adopted, and made a part herein, as if fully set out in this article. That's my motion.
All right. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
Building Department, John Batson is not here this evening. I don't think Kathleen is here to represent him. Chief Bowden, Police Department, anything you want to add?
Yes.
Talked enough today? Okay. Public Works Department, Jimmy, anything?
I just want to give an update on the ADA ramp.
Okay.
I received an email from Engineering Services on like site surveying and stuff like this. Engineering permitting is going to run around $12,000. So I need to give them a verbal agreement so they can send us a contract so we can get this out the bid.
Okay. All right. How do you gentlemen feel about the $12,000 for the ramp?
So it's not currently in the budget, right, Arlen? Wherever you went?
No.
And that will take us over our contingency, so it's going out of the general fund, I assume?
Well,
or it goes in next year?
Well, I guess it depends on the timing. If they finish it before June 30th, we could take money out of the current contingency, which is about, I think we have about $48,000.
That the total cost, too, for everyone?
That's just for surveying, engineering.
That's just engineering
service. And getting the drawings and stuff like that so we can get it out.
That's not construction. I want to make that clear.
That's right.
That's all
right.
What I was reading.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
So, after that, then we're talking about the materials, wood.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any comments, gentlemen?
I have drawings.
That'll be done before June 30th, so that would be this year. Yeah, the contingency. Yeah. So the motion. So if everyone's positive, it's the right thing to do, right?
We have consensus on this.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion. We move $12,000 from the contingency fund to have engineering services do the work to reinstall the ADA compliant ramp to the northern end of town.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Okay, Jimmy, any other questions on that one? Or anything else you need from us? Okay, thank you. Discussion and consideration of old business. Proposed amendments to Code of Ordinances, Chapter 10 of Motor Vehicles Traffic, public hearing. I think what we should do is, let's have some discussion on that before I agenda some conclusions.
I think we should reform the committee and discuss some of the changes and see what we want to do. But I think it should be fast-tracked. Our goal was to have this by Memorial Day weekend. Obviously, we're not going to.
I agree.
I thought we heard a lot of good comments tonight. We do have some areas we need to look at and try to address some of the concerns and at least give them a response back to the citizens that took their time to come and give their concerns tonight. So I do agree with Joe, we should try to fast track if we want to try to get anything in place this year.
The goal was to get something in place for the season so we could address it in October, November, see how it responded to make changes for the upcoming year.
Right.
As a work in progress, as you mentioned.
Well, but I think, I agree, but we can't rush it and then make a big mess, right?
No.
So I guess the first question is, Chief, do you have what you need right now if someone parks on pavement in Curie Beach to do something about it?
Yes.
Do you have something on ordinance right now that if they park blocking someone's personal residence in the town's right of way, but not on pavement, that you could do something about it?
Yes.
Okay. Those are the two things I'm worried about, right? Mm-hmm. So from my perspective, I think is people parking on pavement, that's problem number one. And problem number two is when they park illegally blocking someone's property in the town right of way, right? So I know we had one person talk, he's left already, that his lot, basically people are driving in on his personal property. He's the only person that I've heard of that has that problem. I'm sure there's some others, but that's the only one I've heard.
That lives right behind me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. With those four little houses, yeah. Right? And basically it's probably one of those other houses, maybe. I don't know. But I think I want to make sure that the police department can address people parking on pavement in town anywhere. Right. If they get a complaint, we got to be able to address that, and I think we can with the current ordinance. And if they park on the town's right of way, blocking someone's property, access to their property, I want to make sure we can do something about that. And if the chief says we can do something about that, I'm fine. That, I mean, we don't have to change the ordinances to tell people, look, the Curie Beach Police Department can manage these two issues. Don't do this. And I think that's what the one person didn't like is, well, all my friends could park all over anywhere they wanted to in my neighborhood, and they got all these warnings. Well, they can't. We're going to stop that. You know, the police is going to take a different line, right? And this is a similar line to what happened in Riceville Beach in the 80s, and we're just close to there now. You know, and
I make a motion $25 a day, $5 an hour for it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well,
dies for lack of a second.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I'm not second.
Dies for lack of a second.
But I agree with your fast track. So who do you feel you need to add, right, from the people that were here? One person volunteered, which he wrote his name down so you can get him.
We should reconvene.
Because he said he participated. You need some other representatives from the
one gentleman's going to email
side.
Me.
Good.
The one that wanted the one-way parking.
Right.
Side of the street, so I'll ask him to join us.
And I think David's right. Point about residents versus visitors is a good point to consider in how you address it, maybe. Because residents can buy stickers and then the police can identify them. They're supposed to have stickers anyway.
They put them on the car.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if it was a parking ticket or put your sticker on your car, people might start doing that. So I think it would change.
Okay, yeah. Joe, can we have a motion to define the path forward?
Nice.
Wow, all that pressure. I'll make a motion that we reconvene the parking committee within the next 30 days and start trying to address the issues that are still dangling out there.
With added. Yeah, if you can get some representatives from the other side, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the... There were some interesting things brought up, I think.
Okay. So we have a motion. We have
I'll
a
second.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Good luck, sir.
So moved.
You got a tough task.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
Well, he's brought it pretty far forward already, so.
Yeah. No.
Schedule a special meeting on Tuesday, June 5th, before or after public hearing at 6:30 for the closed session on personnel. So, gentlemen, do you prefer an early meeting or a later meeting?
On June 5th?
On June 5th. We are meeting on June 5th for the budget.
I mean, I can do early if Joe can. And so, the rest of you guys can. I know all your retirees have busy schedules.
Say early, too, right? Like 8 a.m. and we're done by 9:30.
Well, I mean, we're meeting at 6:30, so my thought was...
Did you say
was,
5 a.m.?
Like
did you say 5 a.m.?
My thought was that we'd either meet before the 6:30 meeting or after the 6:30 meeting.
I mean... It's going to take us a little while, I think. That meeting's not going to be very fast.
Okay.
Well, I think it'll take...
Want to start at 5?
An hour, yeah, at least. Or earlier, if Jeff can do earlier.
5 work?
5 o'clock.
Okay.
Because we have to be finished by 6:30 for
yes.
the budget, right?
Right?
So that's an hour and a half. Yeah, okay, 5 o'clock.
Okay. We have a motion?
Make a motion that we meet to address personnel issues at 5 p.m. on June 5th. And that's a closed session.
Yes.
So
yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving along. A review proposed updated national flood insurance plan ordinance. I don't know if you gentlemen had a chance to read through that. The recommendation from our department head, John Batson, is that he went through this with a fine-tooth comb with the representative from CAMA and from and determined what was relevant to the town. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it or not. I think it just came out.
I did.
You did? Is there anything in there that we need to worry about in your eyes, Andy?
No. The czar can do no wrong.
Okay.
The czar?
The czar.
Wow. Okay. I mean, the issue for me, and I have not read the, it looks like 40 pages. Is that how many it is?
Well, I think we ought to talk to John about it.
Yeah, we don't have to be done until August
28th.
I mean, I would request we move this to next month's agenda because there's a lot of stuff in there that you got to read to know if it's good or bad.
Didn't he want the hearing done in the June meeting?
I think he did.
We can back it up, though.
But then again...
Well, you'll be so which hearing? The public hearing?
He wanted a public hearing on this at the June meeting.
I'm fine with that because we're not voting on it, right? So he's just asking to set a public meeting, right? I just want time to read it because I skimmed through it and I'm like, I can't catch up this fast.
It's good sleeping insurance.
Well, I mean, you know,
essentially it does reduce the insurance rates for the town. So as soon as we can do it, the better off we'll all be smiling. So,
So we just want to set a public hearing before the meeting? Is that what he's asking us to do, Joe?
Yeah, on the same day as the June meeting.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's the first order of business at the June meeting, so I'm assuming 6 o'clock.
First order of business would be 6:30.
Oh. Yeah, so we can make the
public hearing. Oh, you mean at the June meeting, yeah.
Yeah, June meeting, yeah.
6:30 would be an order of business. We could set up a public hearing before the... This isn't the June 5th meeting. This is the regular
the normal
town council
meeting.
Meeting.
That's right.
So we can, what time matches your calendars?
30 minutes before. Yeah, I make a motion. We have a public hearing at 6 o'clock to address whatever this is called, the National Flood Insurance Program. On June 19th, right? That's the normally scheduled meeting.
Okay, I have a motion.
Sir?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
I promise I'll read it before then.
Yep. Move right along.
I read some of it.
Okay, status on goals. This should only take about 5 minutes, folks. I thought while we had a reasonable audience here that they should know that we have a good running start for 2018. Nancy, do you have that to put up there? Thank you. Oh, that's the end of it.
Almost there.
Got to go to one.
There you go. Right here.
Just quickly, you saw that we set some goals in the budget that we wanted to make sure that we financed, that we take that down forward as a council. Work smarter. We want to improve the parking situation. We'll see we're on that. Upgrade the systems such as water meter and billing. I believe in the next year's budget, we have a capital project for changing out the water meters, which will make it much easier to read and make them more accurate. Work on the Department of Defense land use plan to retain assets. I'll talk about that a little bit right at the end. Ensure the integrity of the town financial data. Bring in a construction project on time and at cost. I'm happy to say, Alan, in your regular meetings, I think we are
on or actually a little bit ahead of schedule. So that's good, and the costs are in line at this point in time. Be fiscally responsible. What else do we need? He won't let us be irresponsible. Improve the long-term planning. Long-term planning is important as we look at our ordinances, as we look at parking, and as we look at the future. As we think about the future, and we are locked on all four sides, folks. Our town is locked on all four sides. We have about 200, and let's just round it to 250 empty lots that can house, provide about 306 more structures. And we have some number of small homes that in time I think will become larger homes. It becomes an incumbent on us, and I don't think I have anybody here from P&Z now, but to have P&Z, if the council agrees, we should have P&Z look at what we're doing in the business district. As the business district ages, what are some of the recommendations that we could see coming forward to preserve the business district, to provide the services it provides to the town at this point? Families are aging out. Next generations are going to be coming in. People are building incredibly huge houses right next to the town facilities. We need to take a look at what we're doing, and not that we, let's just say we need to have a plan so that this stays the beautiful place we all love. Review ordinances for the enforcement process. We're doing that, and the chief unfortunately takes the brunt of that, but thank you, chief. It's a tough job, but you're a good man for it. ROT maintenance. You saw that one of the primary revenues that we have is the ROT, which is the heads on beds for short stays, principally our mini motels all along the beach and our motels along the beach. The motels pay that. I'm not certain, and I'm not accusing anybody, but we do need a process to make sure that all of the 304 properties that are renting are paying their fair share of the ROT maintenance tax. I'm sorry, ROT tax. And I'm happy to say that New Hanover County has responsibility for enforcement. They have identified new software. People have to sign up to a specific account. They are identified by address, by name, and the software will determine when and if they are suspect of playing fairly. So that's very good news for us. We can take our $500,000 to $600,000 up significantly potentially. Based on our work last year, we increased ROT tax 13.5% by going out and identifying people renting and getting them on the tax base. Thank you. That was David's idea. Enable an optimum working environment for staff to produce high levels of service to the public. Okay, we're building the new town hall so that the whole town is ready for the next 25 years. When we build out, we need to be ready. I think we have the infrastructure identified to do that. Ensure policies are fair. You'll see that in the budget we had a 2% increase for performance and a 2% increase for cost of living. That's one of the ideas we've looked at, and we've also reinstituted the longevity pay, which really just cost the town. What was the extra cost?
$2,500.
Yeah, it was about $2,500.
$2,500, and that's for new people to participate in the longevity program. So we're doing all we can to make sure that the people who take care of you are pleased and very happy to do it. Provide all department heads with support to maintain safe working environment. So we are looking at force multipliers, if you will. One of them is the support the camera program. We have cameras at certain places in town, and we have cameras because they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with perfect memory. And they're always there at the right time. And we have used our cameras to solve a few drug cases. Am I correct on that? Thank you. So excellent work by the police department in the planning, the financing through grants for this this program. And the use, then of course we've done other things like add to our friends at Public Works the street cleaning machine and a new backhoe last year. So things to keep, make sure we can take care of ourselves. Next page, Nancy. And then now here's something incredibly important, and we're all helping this, but Mr. Whitley is, our Commissioner Whitley is actually the vice chairman of the joint land use study with the Department of Defense and our friends at Sunny Point. There are things in here. This is a list of items that we used to get in the past that based on some of the new rules, we don't necessarily have the opportunity to enjoy specifically. For example, we never used to pay for the lagoon. We never paid for Johnny's Park. We never paid for the water tower, but we do pay for those things now, at least the commercial rates for those properties. We'll ask them for support in that. We'll ask them for support in water diversion to allow us on the property to help the drainage problems we have, particularly in the south end of town and behind our residents that live up in Settlers Lane. Other potentials, bike path options, and maybe we can get them to help us with constructing new garages, since they do not allow us to use some of the garages that we built previously before some of the new rules, and they're on land we're not allowed to use. Therefore, there are things, and Joe takes these, and Joe, can you give us just a quick, what's happened today?
We have our first meeting. Nancy and John Batson will be attending with me. It's stakeholder interviews, and I'll read directly from the email so I do not misquote it. These are to get a better understanding of any potential land use compatibility issues or conflicts from your perspective, a better understanding of the relationship between Motsu and its neighbors, the extent and nature of formal communications, agreements that exist or existed in the past, and plans and policies that might impact the installation. There's all the surrounding municipalities are involved in it. 15 agencies are involved in it. They are being hemmed in also with rapid growth in Brunswick County, so that's one reason behind this. People are getting closer to them. But the whole process will start Monday morning at 9:30. And it should take about a year. And of course, I'll update council every meeting if something comes up in a time period.
Okay. So the reason to show you this is to let you know that there is some thought. The individuals who dedicate their time in the frontier are working hard for the sake of the community, as well as our partners in planning and zoning, our partners in beach beautification, our partners in all the other committees that support this town. We have a good town, we have great people, we have good volunteers, and if you're not involved, I'd ask you to get in it. Okay. That's a quick update. I don't know if there's any questions. Okay, discussion and consideration of new business. Encroachment request for 441 South Fort Fisher Boulevard. Lisa and Wes Esther. You waited a long time for this.
Hester, been here at the beach since about 2004, and I'm currently purchasing property for a home here at 441 South Fort Fisher. I'd like to thank you guys for allowing me to present to you tonight a request for an encroachment. We're actually in an artifact I handed out to you there, kind of 7 pages there, but really page 3 and 4 kind of lay out the diagram of what we're looking at here. We're purchasing a home that we didn't design and build, but it turns out there's a pool with a deck on the back of it, and it's got about a 3-foot area on the deck, which is not very good for putting a chair or anything there. So we're requesting that we draw up a encroachment artifact of Ned Barnes that will allow us use of that property. I understand it's, talking to Mr. Basson, it is actually owned by the city of Curry Beach, or the town of Curry Beach, and we're asking for encroachment that at no cost to the beach or to the town, that we would put it up and we would take it down if there was ever an issue. I understand there's a, we have an artifact with the Corps of Engineers that says that if they needed that property, they could use it, or any of the area of the beach. So we're asking for your permission to get an encroachment agreement in place. So you can see the 10-foot area there on the back of the deck. And if you go further into slides 6 and 7, you can see the property. And this is actually right by the reference, if you don't know where 441 Southport Fisher is. Oh, thank you. There's a beach access. It's, if you start from the pier, it's the 7th beach access on your left there. Mm-hmm. So that's beach access. And so this is a 10-foot section. You see that 3-foot section here. The pool is actually a very small pool. The lot is a smaller lot. We're building this for our home.
Andy, how is this we own this land versus... I'm trying to understand John's note about this.
This is a 10-foot area that goes through the middle of the block that was originally installed by Lawrence Curie. It was a utility access. That's where the quarter-inch water mains used to run.
That's because there were properties to the east that are no longer there, right? Okay. So we haven't had along that whole section before, but not in the north part of town. That's why this hadn't came up before?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's what I didn't understand.
It's come up once before, but it was turned down.
But we have beach walkways that cross this the entire way.
But my understanding, the reason it was turned down is because at the time, we still had the water lines running through there. But now the water lines have been moved to the roadside. I'm not sure.
Are there any water lines on the beach side, Jimmy?
I don't think so.
I mean, Fran pretty much fixed a lot of that, I would think, if it was there. Okay.
Commissioner Hagler, I spoke with Sonny Baker, too, about that. He said, no, we never have put water lines there. Yeah. The original map, 1947, shows two lots. One lot, and that runs between those. But all the water lines are at Fort Fisher.
Okay. Okay, I just want to make sure I understood. Okay.
Does John say anything about the CAM line, the development line, or any of that stuff? I don't think any of that's in jeopardy here.
This is in the same area. So it's not just encroachment into town property, it's encroachment into the beach easement nourishment line.
Okay.
So the encroachment agreement would need to stay both in the beach nourishment, and I can let Attorney Barnes know that and town property.
I got you.
I mean, I went out and looked at the property, and I looked at the properties left and right down the access. I didn't see any particular problem, but I don't know. Maybe
there is none now, because the water lines have been moved.
Right.
Original water lines
over
in
here
no longer used.
Well, John didn't have a recommendation. He just wanted to make sure we talked about it, so I understand now. Okay. I'm good, sir.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Hester?
You can see right there, I think that's your beach nourishment.
Yeah.
Oh, where is it? I'm sorry. Okay.
It's right here that runs right in conjunction with it.
Right,
which is typical.
The only difference from what we've approved in the past is just the fact that the town owns that easement.
That's the only
so it has to be different, but I think because there's it doesn't change anything on the beach since there's no water lines there. Okay.
Okay. Does anybody have any other questions? Input, ideas, thoughts, motions?
I make a motion we approve them moving forward and working on an encroachment agreement to be satisfactory to the town attorney.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good luck.
Adoption of the 2018 Emergency Operations Plan. Mr. Hagler.
Yep. Nancy, I don't know if you saw manager. The email I just sent you.
No.
So, I emailed the operations plan, and there's multiple sections, which I understand. What I'd like is for us to approve the hurricane portion of the plan, which is one annex, and then we'll bring the rest back to you because Ed just went to a class on emergency management, and him and I are going through the rest of it. The reason I'd like us to approve the annex for the hurricane plan is it specifically directs the department heads on things to do before June 1st, which is the preparedness section. Once June 1st happens, then we're actually in hurricane season, and so all the department heads are responsible to have some things done by then in the plan. So I make a motion we approve. Let me find out which annex it is. I was trying to get it pulled up, but I wasn't smart enough. Let me find it. It is, it's Annex B, Appendix 1, is the Curie Beach Emergency Operations Plan for Hurricane Operations. So I make a motion that we adopt Annex B, Appendix 1 as presented, and then we'll bring the rest of the plan back, including the re-access plan, which I shared with you guys this week. Right. So please give me feedback.
I guess, any comments before we move forward? I think, David, you did a great job on that, reading through it.
Lots of people made it.
Yeah,
we just are updating it for the year, and then we'll go through the rest of it. And just for the citizens, it is on our website, Nancy tells me. If you look, basically what happens in our, I believe her too, what happens in our emergency operations plan in May, and the reason we adopted it in May is so the department heads know the things they're supposed to do by June 1st. So there's specific activities that mostly pre-planning and working with their departments to identify who's going to stay in. And we want that done by June 1st because the earliest Curie Beach has been hit by a hurricane was July 12th, Hurricane Bertha. So in 1996. There you go. Thank you. I think about it. So you got a month and a half for those of you that haven't prepared your houses yet to get ready.
Yep, to get ready.
Second motion.
Thank you.
All right. We have a motion, discussion, and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Secondly, on that, so the letter that we send out once a year to our citizens, I sent you a copy. Please review it and send it back to me and Nancy so we can get it out before Memorial Day. So we send that out the last of May. And then I'd like permission from council to schedule 2 information sessions with the public on hurricane preparedness. We do every year. Only about 10 people come to each one of them, but we have them, so I'd like to schedule them again. I don't have dates yet because I'm waiting for work to tell me my travel schedule, but it will be in late May or early June. So I'm requesting a consensus, I guess, for permission on those 2.
Have consensus, gentlemen?
Yes.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you, Jim.
Was there anything else, David?
I thought there was one more for me.
Yes, the sewer authority adoption of rates.
Yes.
Are you going to do those meetings, one during the week, one on the weekend, or both on the weekend?
Yep. Okay. One will be in the afternoon, either a Wednesday or Thursday, and one will be Saturday, midday, so that people can attend one. And then the presentation will be on the website, like always, which last year's is still up there, so they look a lot similar. Joe and I met with Carolina Beach regarding the water and sewer rates, and it's another great year being Curie Beach. So the work that Sonny and Jimmy did to allow us to divert more of our flow to our wastewater treatment lagoon allowed us to lower what we were sending to Carolina Beach. And the way the structure works on cost with Carolina Beach is at the end of their, once their budget is, not their budget, once their spending is audited and approved by their auditor, then we go back and square up on where we are. Because we sent less water there, what that meant is that we get a check back. And so we definitely want to approve the rates. And so, and also because we decreased flows and they decreased flows, the new rate goes down as well. So what I would like is to make a motion that we approve the Carolina and Curie Beach Water and Sewer Authority rates as presented, and after we do that, Carolina Beach will be sending us a check for Arlen. How much? $40,000.
Actually, we got it today.
Okay.
It's actually less than what's written there. There was one last error in this calculation in the spreadsheet.
Okay.
Refund, so it's actually $32,600.
Okay, so $32,000. Okay. You got to watch them every second. Arlen's watching. So, this is a good story for both us and Carolina Beach. So the fact that we're controlling sewer stuff, basically, I make a motion that we accept the variable costs and fixed costs for the new sewer rates.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, duly passed.
Excellent, thanks. And thanks, Joe, okay, for joining in because he's going to own it next.
Okay. That closes new business mayor updates, so I have none. Any commissioner items?
Mayor, if I could, I thank each of y'all getting your weekly updates from our progress meetings that our construction manager sending out. Nancy's forwarding those to y'all. Mm-hmm. If you ever have any questions, feel free to give me a call. Without rain this week, we will see some significant milestones at the building, but I don't know if we will reach those this week, but the roof trusses for the new area where the council chambers will be are on site. They're supposed to be put on the building on Friday, but I don't really think that's going to happen. And they're supposed to pour the floor in the apparatus bay in the fire department, pending not a lot of rain on Friday, by Friday. So a lot of things are happening. It's getting to the point where we're going to start seeing roofs and stuff come on the building. So everything's going quite well. Very pleased with everything.
That looks good.
Excellent. Thanks for your work there, Alan. Anybody else?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We don't have a need for a closed session this evening.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Nice job.
Yeah, I'm tired.
My motion.
Good luck.
There you go.
Well, good. That's a nice, nice shirt you got there. I like the fact that
you're. Thank you, man.